And we are here with Bobby Assadorian from Triple R Inc. Contracting and of course, does the regular article on silver and gold and is here every couple of weeks. We call it Just Ask Bob, Experts on Call. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you, John?
Fine. I'll be better once I actually get to sink my teeth into the baklava that you managed to bring along this week. So.
I am a man of my word. Maybe late, but better sooner than never. So, I know you're going to enjoy it.
So our thanks to your mom,
yes,
really.
Yes, Maria. Mama Maria.
To you for delivering, but for her for putting it together for us.
Really I had nice. The easy job. Deliver and eat.
So what are we going to talk about, though? Let's talk about silver and gold, first of all, because you talk a lot about lighting.
I'm very excited. It's actually the largest article or largest column Suzanne Soto Davies has ever allowed me the pleasure of writing. It's a very nice column. In particular, this one has to do with lighting. And I really went crazy in researching it. I mean, it starts off at the very first line, there was no sun, no light, no life on earth. So, I mean, all life began from sun. You need sun. You need light. I think we trail off in it right to Christmas lighting, right to lighting and safety, lighting in your home. And importantly enough, your health. We've all heard of seasonal affective disorder. And, I mean, they've been around for a few years now, some type of a light. I'm not sure if it's got a blue-toned or, a blue shine to it or whatnot, but you can gaze into it for a few hours every day. I haven't tried it myself, but it'd be interesting to try it. Apparently it's supposed to, raise your mood, give you an uplifting feeling.
So you're not saying that contractors built the sun, right?
No. Okay. I can't take credit for that.
I just wanted to make sure.
We do install lighting. You can equate us with the sun. We brighten up people's homes. So many different lights, fluorescent. They've even got people complain for so much time about fluorescent bulbs. They've even got them now. They look like the age-old incandescent bulbs. So it's basically, I like to call it the squiggly pigtail fluorescent.
If you have certain lamps that you, they only fit that kind of bulb.
Exactly.
That's why they put the
or
glass
certain
over
certain people
it.
That will only fit to that type of look.
Yeah, maybe
a lot of my customers in the past, they just don't like looking at that look, especially some of these, vanity California light strips that you see in the bathrooms.
Right.
Mind you, they cost quite a bit more, but also they come now dimmable. Originally, you could not dim them.
You couldn't
them.
Get those things
no,
dimmable, that's
those
right.
Those are so expensive. Those, I think, are well over $14 a piece.
Yeah.
So very expensive, but, I mean, you save energy and you can dim them.
Yeah, and it might make more sense in the long run, I think it would anyway, to actually remove the whole, remove either the fixture that requires the dimmer or the dimmer from your service.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I recommend all homeowners. I mean, my first home I did it, and just last year when I bought my second home, I basically, it cost me $50, $60, went through every light fixture in the home, pulled them all out, put in compact fluorescents.
Right.
It cost up front, but I'm going to be there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You'll recoup the money easily.
That's right.
And I noticed you've got it up there. I want to let everybody know, I think, is it SNG.com?
It's SNG Magazine.
Oh, magazine.com. Now, we're talking about the silver and gold publication from Burlington, Suzanne Soto Davies Magazine. And again, she has allowed me to do the bi-monthly column of Just Ask Bob. Please do visit it, SNGmagazine.com. It's virtual. It's online. You can go through the menu, click through the pages, and definitely enjoy the column. And, there's much, much more to the magazine as well. It's a very nice that she's put it online, letting anybody with internet access having the opportunity to read the magazine and enjoy the magazine.
Yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot of Christmas stuff in this particular issue too, a lot of seasonal stuff.
Oh, definitely. I think I'm on page 26, 27 there.
Okay, I'm at 2021. I'll just flip through.
No worries.
You keep talking.
Well, I've got something interesting about a chimney. We've talked a lot about chimneys, but this was definitely a first. I can say for 7 years of doing chimneys, again, most of them tuck pointing, tearing them apart above the roof line. Not too often, but in this strange case, the chimney was perfect above the roof line, but below the roof line, it was an exterior one. So there's three sides of the chimney against the outside brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
There was about 25 bricks that, the faces were spalled off. Made sense to extract them, wrote up a simple work order, quoted the flat price, remove, and I always write approximately 25 bricks because I know we could end up taking another 10 or 15 out if they chip when they're beside the ones I'm extracting. So we pull the bricks out and we look inside. Boy, oh boy, was the flue damaged. Now, just so people know, before gas appliances even existed in this particular market, there's always that orange clay flue. You can see it, that about 4 or 5 inches sticking up past your last brick.
Yeah.
That was for the oil-burning furnaces, wood fireplaces, and even the hot water tanks. Now, with everything being gas, you'll see certain homes, you see the steel liner, the aluminum sort of corrugated liner sticking up through. Now,
the orange sleeve kind of makes you nostalgic.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, it's
oh, this, I like that look.
Well, no, it's a nice look. I mean, it looks nice up there, but this one was scary.
Yeah.
This one is broken up in several sections. It was missing. Now, I could very easily see the steel liner underneath it, but the steel liner is very sensitive. Now, the clay flue, and I cut my finger on it, the clay flue is very, very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being that it was broken like that, I had two choices to make. Wrap the job up in yellow caution tape, and I mean a lot of tape, put a safety stop on it, discuss it with the homeowner, get in the right person with a gas Tesla license to look at it, or throw in 20, 25 bricks, get my check, and leave. I'm not that type of person. I'm not going to gas or smoke anybody out. You know, we cleaned up. We wrapped up a ton of yellow caution tape, got a hold of the owner. I'll have to be honest. He was upset at first. I mean, this is scary. Like I've said about opening up a can of worms, this now sort of voids out the original work order. We need other
anything
quotes.
Anything with any age at all. Anytime you open something up, you know,
well,
you never know what you're going to find.
I mean, the first thing I told the homeowner, and I explained them because he was, you know, he was budget conscientious about this when we started. And said, are you sure with the cost? You sure with the price? And I mean, of course, as any proper contractor, I've got a ton of little clauses in there,
yep,
unforeseen, everything from a traffic accident to fighting a broken flue. So, I mean, I did tell him he's not sort of stuck with me now. He can bring in his own gas specialist, Tesla license, bring in a fireplace installer, bring in anybody with the right qualifications. He can hire them direct. They can do what has to be done. Then I can continue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he chose to have me do the legwork, and I was there this morning with my HVAC guy, licensed Tesla installer, happens to be a fireplace store owner as well. He looked at it, and he said, Bobby, this unit, it's well over 12 years old. It's leaking creosote into the basement like crazy. I mean, I'm a little stuffed up, and I could still smell it down there. The hole that they bored through the foundation is either too big or wasn't sealed properly. Backdrafting, creosote pouring in. The manufacturer of that stove fireplace, freestanding stove fireplace, is out of business. Parts will be hard to find. Even when it was new, it was 70% efficiency. It's probably running at 25% now. 75 cents out of every dollar is going out the chimney.
Yeah.
So basically the way we assessed it is, and I'm still giving the homeowner several scenarios. One scenario, I rebuild that chimney from the ground up. It will cost, it's the most expensive one, mm-hmm, and the stupidest one because he's left with the same fireplace.
Right.
But again, that's the law. I'm providing him with the easy way out that I'm not changing the fireplace, right to about three other situations. I'm going to present it to him this evening.
You can get some really nice high-efficiency units.
Oh, definitely. Well, the one I quoted him is a really nice unit. It is 92% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have a nice remote control. Now, in the email I quoted to him, no frills here. He didn't want frills with anything. And I said, not that we're giving you a remote control thermostat to make it fancy, because he's a landlord. It's a rental home.
Right.
Costs got to be clamped down. But the reason is he has no thermostat wiring and no thermostat. The unit's in the basement. Back then, they didn't come with thermostats. Basically, homeowner, the tenant's got to turn it on. The place will roast too much if they happen to be out. They're not going to turn it off because maybe landlord's paying the bills. So in this case, it's more expensive to do a whole circuit run, wire it up, and put a wired thermostat, where it's cheaper just to buy the remote. Comes with the unit, and basically it's remote control. You set the parameters to it. It'll shut itself on and off, cycle properly. And I think, you know, when the day's said and done, I stopped it for safety reasons. I'm providing the homeowner with four price points, and he can still choose somebody else to come in and requote on the gas work. And I don't mind. Like I told him, I'm busy. We clamped it up, moved on to another one, and we'll be back when it's set.
But it sounds like it's something that probably should have been done at least a couple of years ago.
Well, it should have, but the problem I find with landlords is they want it done quickly and not necessarily in the safest manner. But this gentleman's a very nice person. He cares about the tenant. I've been speaking with the tenant this morning. But again, when the day's said and done, it's about, you know, options. I put them in front of him.
Mm.
He makes the final decision.
Right.
Yes,
as long as you don't give him the remote control so he can drive by and turn it off whenever he feels like it.
Can you imagine that? freeze out the tenant in the middle of the winter.
It's well, I guess, you know, as long as you keep up on your rent, you wouldn't have to worry about something.
Oh, definitely.
Like that.
So I see you've got it there. Just ask Bob again.
Yes, this is from the Silver and Gold magazine. It's a service provided to them through myvirtualpaper.com, and you can read the entire thing there. And there's all about lighting for beauty, for function, and for safety. And you know, you talk about the bulbs, the new bulbs to replace incandescents and go through the entire gamut of that, and also a lighting for safety, for health, and for security.
Now, so, there's one more page. Flip to the last page, John. I think
sure.
It's the most important one. I'm really pleased. I must again thank Suzanne. She threw a little plug in for the book, Contract You Can Bring Home to Mom.
Yep.
And she is the first one to coin the phrase, or at least throw the punt about it, and make a great Christmas gift. That's new. Never had the book in publication or the book out last Christmas, so that's sort of new for us this year. And I must say about the book, it is finally stocked. Now, we were out of stock. As of yesterday, the book is fully stocked, Stony Creek Indigo, fully stocked Kohl's at Eastgate, Jackson, Eastgate and Kohl's in Jackson Square. And about an hour from 20 minutes now, anybody within listening shot of Ancaster, it will be stocked within an hour and 20 minutes at the Chapters in Meadowlands on Golf Links Road.
Nice.
So it's nice that it's finally stocked. It took forever. I was waiting for that shipment for weeks now. But again, sometimes it's difficult. Timelines don't all come together as you want them to, but I'm happy it's out there.
Okay, so yeah, you do go into a seasonal affective disorder here in the article, but you also talk about the safety of unplugging your Christmas lights before going to bed at night.
And also, and this it may sound funny, but it's so true, read the package. John, I can't tell you how many people install indoor lights outside and vice versa. Yes, they don't read the package. You know, the lights for inside, sometimes you've got some wreath or around your Christmas tree, or maybe they do the circumference perimeter of a table. They'll take those lights, because I have to say they're cheaper to buy, because they're not ESA safe certified for outdoors. So they're a little more economical in the start, but you're not supposed to put them outside on your eavesdrops.
Right.
People are doing it, so read the package.
Yeah, I still like the really small ones, nice little LED ones that you can hang like icicles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice look. And of course, but it changes every year because, of course, those lighting companies are trying to make money. So they come out with new styles every year.
Exactly. Well, luckily, my wife, she's happy and content, simple with what we have. We've got the regular icicle lights. We've had them for 8 years. They're still working, and they're long enough for the same run at our new place. And she told me once the Halloween stuff comes off the front door, which was, I think, last week, get up there and you just ask Bob. We put decorating his own home this weekend for the Christmas. Well, we put it up so late, and then it comes down so fast. Look at all the effort. It's nice. I agree with my wife at least once this time. I agree. Put it up soon and enjoy it for a while.
I'll tell you the one thing about I've been a proponent all my life of a real tree until just a couple of years ago when my wife convinced me that the thing about an artificial tree, if you have a nice looking artificial tree, it's safer around your kids. Mm-hmm. But it's also something you can keep up longer. You don't have to worry about the thing dying on you. You can get it up, get it erected in your house earlier and then have it accelerate the season a little longer, because usually by about December 26, people start tearing the stuff down.
Exactly.
So it's kind of nice in that respect. There is that safety issue as well. Okay, we're going to come back from a break and talk about a couple of questions that you've got. Want to get to those. Just Ask Bob on Experts on Call. It's 1246 from Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. Talk 820 time is 12:50, and I guess one thing that we failed to mention, and this is different for us because we're always talking about getting the proper person to do the proper job, is if you are going to change anything in your house, if you want to get rid of dimmers, etc., if you're switching over your lighting to a more energy-efficient lighting, make sure you hire a qualified, papered electrician to do your work.
Very important, John. I mean, we've talked on and off air. We've even done shows practically dedicated to that. Mm. And we've had the ESA Electrical Authority call in on the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important. You know, we know electricians are out there, even general contractors that aren't real and legitimate. You know, it's important. But I do have to say, as far as just changing fixtures, again, it comes down to the honesty of your contractor or even the know-how of the homeowner to call the city and ask. Myself, I'm allowed, I'm fine at the fixture point. If there's a fixture in existence already, I can pull it off and replace it. And I mean, bulbs, even the homeowner can do that. But when it comes to running new wiring circuits, putting up lights where lights did not exist, or obviously anything that requires troubleshooting or working at the panel.
Yeah, adding anything to the panel.
Must be done by a licensed electrician, an electrical contracting firm, not just a licensed electrician that works for a contracting electrical firm and then hobbies and does it on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, he will certainly not have liability insurance if he toasts the home, and he won't have the Workplace Safety Insurance Board coverage if he toasts himself or a part of his body. Because, again, that's very common. Phenomenal electrical firms, licensed proper. They've got a fleet of employees, and their employees want to go become sideshow stoppers on the weekend. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. But they have to be honest with you. I mean, they will never be able to furnish you certificates of insurance and Workplace Safety Insurance Board coverage papers either. So the homeowner's got to know. But their prices will be great. So, I mean, it's important. Have it wired properly. Nothing's more important than that.
Got about 8 minutes left to go here. Let's get to some questions. What have you got?
Yes, I have a really nice question here. Had it with me last time. My apologies to John here from Hamilton that we weren't able to address it. Not enough time in the last show. We've got, Dear Bob, what's the best way to insulate my basement walls? Ideally, John, when accessibility or affordability isn't sort of a question, or an issue, the best way to insulate, believe it or not, is on the exterior of the foundation, between the outside of the foundation and the earth, using a 2-inch foam for a total R value of R10. Now, once again, on the interior, you can also use, there's several methods on the interior. When it's not affordable and you don't have accessibility, it's not new construction where the dirt hasn't been backfilled, at least on the inside, you have a few options. One of them is, again, to use spray foam, 2 inches thick. Put that on the interior side of the foundation. Then stud your wall with Roxwell. You're going to have a total R value of R23. Now, then you're going to sheathe the wall from the inside. The option two is sheathe the wall from the inside with 2-inch foam. We're not spray foaming here because option two is more affordable. I'm going down the affordability scale here. Then stud your wall with a Roxwell. You're going to have a total R value of R23. Now, if you notice, John, option one, which is more expensive than option two, you're still getting the end result.
Same R value.
Well, same R value of R23. However, nothing beats spray foam. Spray foam will seal it completely and perfectly. But still, your R value is the same, but you'll get a much better job with spray foam. Now, option three, again, from the interior, just simply, again, tar paper your wall, stud your wall. Then you're going to stud it with 2x4s. Then you're going to Roxwell it. You're going to have a total R value of R13. Now, this is the most affordable. I mean, there is one more affordable using pink insulation. But, I mean, the savings are minuscule. You will get a much, much higher value and a much tighter product using Roxwell at R13.
Okay. All right, we got a call.
Oh, terrific.
And I believe the subject is, got a question about gutters from Mike in Hamilton. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, how you doing?
Just great, thanks. You got a question for Bob.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Mike.
I was curious as to if plastic gutters or aluminum gutters, which is better?
Oh, okay. Definitely aluminum. Now, you have to keep in mind, though, there are two types of aluminum gutters. There's aluminum that's constructed on-site, seamless aluminum. I form that type of aluminum right from 20 feet to 70 feet.
I love those.
Yeah, that's seamless. You really want that one. You know, if you can't afford it, or if you got a shed or a garage that's less than 10 feet,
Buy
the stuff at the big box store. It's 10 feet, and guess what? You'll still be seamless. Plastic's very, I hate to say the word do-it-yourselfish, because, I mean, I encourage homeowners, do things yourself. But, I mean, bear in mind, I mean, if you really want to be picky on it, I can even form the gutters seamless, leave them on your lawn and bill you just for that. And then you can enjoy installing them yourself.
Aluminum ones have more longevity then.
Correct. More longevity and zero maintenance practically, except for cleaning. But that applies to all of them, except for, maintenance when compared to plastic or whatever type of composite.
What about ease of installation? Is a plastic aluminum one easier to install? Or?
Well, the aluminum one requires, a skilled tradesman to do it. I mean, not to say that a homeowner can't. You know, you can brush up on it. There are books or whatnot that can educate you on it. But typically, seamless aluminum's left for the skilled installer, the contractor. The plastic ones, the way they're really, nailing people, so to speak, or promoting it is that, yes, I mean, if you can read a package and dab the glue on and read instructions, it's very, very easy. But, I mean, what is that really worth as much to you for the sake that it's going to be crumbling or cracking or that you've got to rip them down every few years?
Are you, sorry, Mike, to butt in here, but are you just about beyond the time of year that you can put these up right now? And because temperature-wise, that glue's not going to hold, is it? Or are you just about there?
No, I have aluminum ones right now.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay.
I went to Home Depot and I saw that they had two types. They had the aluminum and the plastic, and I was just curious as to which one would be better.
Well, if you're patient, though, one thing I would suggest, and again, a lot of contractors will say different, I wouldn't install either this time of year. I've specifically stopped. I've stopped as of about the middle of September, and just yesterday, same homeowner calling me since September. I'm refusing to do installs or repairs this time of year. Now, again, you'll find a great many contractors that will, but they may not be around when it starts to drip. So if you're patient, I would suggest this is definitely an early spring project. It's not the best time of year for it.
It's kind of funny. A contractor, or I don't know, approached my mom and claimed that she did some that he did some work on her eaves troughs there. This is related to your show from 2 weeks ago. It's kind of funny it happened to us that, without authorization, this contractor claimed that he did some repairs to the eaves trough when actually none had occurred.
And you mean just like no appointment, nothing? He was, canvassing the area? He looked at your eaves troughs without your permission?
Well, my mom is elderly he just basically said he nailed eaves trough back on and he wanted $50.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. I mean, we did a show on this where I mentioned this Hamilton Mountain a few weeks ago, that somebody was knocking on doors and wanting to do chimney work without authorization and wanting, of course, you know, wanting cash. I mean, it's as easy as banging a spike back in. They're just the metal nails, the Ferrelli nails. But, I mean, they shouldn't do it. If they fall off the ladder, if there's an issue, there can be complications. No, that's terrible. And they seem to always be picking on older people. Now, your mom didn't commit to him. She didn't pay him, I hope.
No. She didn't. She just closed the door on him.
Well, good. Should have closed it on his nose. That's, you know, that's not right. I really don't agree. If they really have no other way to peddle their business, leave a business card, print a flyer, leave it in the mailbox, say we're in the area, we're so-and-so, and we're doing work.
But to actually have claimed that he'd done the work already, I mean,
I'm a good
Samaritan. Can you give me $50, please?
They know that an older person can't do anything about it, can't climb the roof, they're not going to check.
You know what? Almost every second job I do in the summer, spring, and fall, if I'm on a ladder doing something, the homeowner will say, by the way, we've got these nails sticking out. Because for 30 years, they're made that way. All of the older homes, especially Hamilton, there's a nail every few feet that holds the eavesdrop in. And, you know, we just bang it in, give it a bang. But, I mean, I'm there. I'm on a work order already. Well, I really want to thank you so much. I mean, bringing this to our attention is important. And I like to put it out across the general airwaves. If anybody's solicited this way, call us. We want to hear about it on the Just Ask Bob show. And, I mean, I hope I've helped. I sort of prolonged your job till next spring, but I hope you take the advice and definitely go with aluminum.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is the one thing is, you know, as long as what he has is going to be able to make it through the winter and, you know, not cause any damage to the house.
Exactly. Not the right time of year, especially for those glues, those ABS components. They won't work if it goes with plastic. Not good to use the glue in this weather.
We got to go. Already late, but thanks again. Always good to see you.
Thank you.
In a couple of weeks, of
definitely.
Just Ask Bob, an Experts on Call from Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. News is next.